the kingdom of our Lord. This week we shall study Revelation 11. Now the book of Revelation has got a unique structure. The end of each of its periods is explained by the next period. Revelation 1 ends with the message to the seven churches. What are they? Revelation 2 and 3 give those messages. Revelation 3 ends with the judgment of our church. That's what Laodicea means, the judging of the people. Revelation 4 and 5 describe that judgment. Revelation 5 ends with a book that is sealed with seven seals now in the hands of Christ. Revelation 6 and 7 tell us how that seal will be explained. Revelation 6 ends with the question, who will be able to stand? And Revelation 7 answers the question, the sealed will be able to stand. How will they be able to stand? Revelation 8 says they have an intercessor in heaven who will continue his revelation until probation closes. And what will happen then? Trumpet after trumpet will sound and plague after plague will be poured out. But what of the righteous? They have a message in chapter 10 contingent on fulfilled prophecy. And they will bring to a consummation every time period, so that there will be no more prophetic time. But when they realize this, their tongues at first sweet will wind up with a bitter taste in their bellies. But their work is not done. They will have to proclaim again, chapter 10 ends, to many people. Well, what will be their message? Chapter 11, 1 tells us, there was given to me a reed like a rod, and the angel said, arise and measure the temple. There was given to Ezekiel a reed, and the angel, surveyor, takes this reed, and he measures the temple. Ezekiel 40, through to the end. The temple of God is the sanctuary. It is the tableau of the plan of salvation. It is the diorama of redemption. It is the building in heaven which the Lord pitched or made, and not man, in which Christ carries out certain functions. Now let me pause a moment to clarify a point. There are some who ridicule how Christ could have stayed in the holy place for 1810 years, how he could be locked in a little cubicle of the most holy place. Let's look at this sensibly. President Reagan will have been in the White House in the Oval Office for 8 years. Will he? In that little cubicle for 8 years? How silly can we get? When we say he is in the Oval Office for 8 years, we mean he has been President of the United States for that time. The Oval Office is the symbol of his office. He spent many weekends at Camp David and at the ranch in Santa Barbara and with Gorbachev in Russia. He's not been confined to that place. That's an idiom for his office. The holy place is an idiom, is a symbol of a function that the priest and high priest carry out. The most holy place is a symbol of a function that the high priest carries out. These are not restricted areas. They are symbolized by restricted areas, but point to an office and a function. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know how many places he's been in the 19th century since his ascension. I don't know what he's been doing. But I do know that with all his multitudinous activities as God, as the Son of God, he has also been my priest and high priest. the president doesn't cease being a husband and a father when he enters the Oval Office. He continues many other functions. And so we should look at the sanctuary and the priesthood and the time span as figures of speech of functions and activities which Jesus Christ carries out, and not be so childishly literal-minded that we miss the whole point of the sanctuary service. So when John, or the people of God who lived in 1844, were directed to the heavenly sanctuary, and were given the reed like a rod, and Jesus Christ is that rod, they were to use Christ as the norm for studying the sanctuary. They were to measure it, meticulously consider length, breadth, height, depth, and furnishings, and colors, and curtains, that they might learn the meaning of these things. And they were to study the altar, that they might measure the details of it. Why was it this shape? Why was it that shape? Why did it have a grill? Why did it have horns? Why did it have fire? Why did it have carrying rods? And then they were to measure those who worshipped therein. What standard did they reach? What character did they attain? What was their breadth and length and height and depth? The court, which was without the temple, leave out, measure it not. And so the message that they were to take in Revelation 10, verse 11, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, to peoples and nations and tongues and kings, was based on their meticulous study of the sanctuary, of the altar, and of the worshippers. Now this is of the temple of God. There was no temple of God on earth. So they were to study the heavenly sanctuary in the light of the revelations given to them in Scripture, in the book that they had handed to them. And when they got the measure of the worshippers, the measure of the altar, and the measure of the temple in heaven, then they were to prophesy, to preach again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So following the sweet, bitter experience of 1843, 1844, and the end of all prophetic time periods, John, as representative of God's people, was to take the role of the book of Daniel and go and proclaim the sanctuary message to all nations. And the sanctuary message of Daniel focuses on Daniel 8:14. We should digest that, study it, chew it, eat it up, make it part of our system, and proclaim the sanctuary message. For it is given, that is, the court without, is given to the Gentiles, verse 22, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now here is a prediction of 1260 days, or 3.5 years, that is repeated in Daniel and repeated in Revelation. This 1260-year period started in 538 and ended in 1798. And it had to do with treading underfoot the holy city. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy this same period, now turned into days, clothed in sackcloth. Now his two witnesses are explained in the verses that follow. They are the word of God. From them, verse 4, according to Zechariah 4, the Holy Spirit is obtained. The word is a lamp and a candlestick to my path. The olive trees and the candlesticks provide oil and light. Comes from the Bible. Psalm 119, 105. If a man hurt them, fire proceeded out and devoured their enemies. Did that by Obadiah. Did that on Mount Carmel. And it did that in Daniel 3. Reject the word of God and face the consequences. They have power to shut heaven 3.5 years. story of Elijah. When they have finished their testimony in sackcloth, that is 1798, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit, which is Satan, we shall see that in Revelation 20, makes war in a special way and overcomes them and kills them. And their dead bodies lie in the streets of the city called Sodom and Egypt, spiritually, that is, licentiousness in Egypt, for 3.5 years. I would suggest you read the chapter in great controversy called The Bible and the French Revolution. And when the Parliament, the Senate of the French government, declared that there was no God, the Bible was no longer valid, man was no longer to be constrained by the restrictions of the Word of God, people rejoiced because they thought that the two prophets of the Old and the New Testament, which had tormented them, were no longer on the earth. But lo and behold, after a short period, 3.5 days, Spirit from God came into the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament, and resurrected them. And this terrible atrocity that the French Revolution brought about from, say, 1792, for 10 years, was overturned in 1802, when the British and Foreign Bible Society was organized. And 12 years later, the American Bible Society. And life entered into the Scriptures. They stood upon their feet, and great fear came upon those who saw it. Ingersoll, Payne, and other atheists declared that the Bible was finished. The Bible is the world's bestseller today. And they heard a great voice saying, "Come up hither," and they ascended up into heaven. Their enemies beheld it. And at that time there was a great earthquake. The tenth part of the city, that's one of the ten powers, one of the ten horns, Uriah Smith suggests, the Franks fell. And 7,000 names of men, the nobility, were slain. But the remnant were affrighted, gave glory to God. And then, verse 15, the seventh angel sounded. A great voice said, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever." This is what the vision of Daniel 2 had given. The stone was to become a great kingdom and filled the whole earth. And Christ, the rejected stone, was to become the cornerstone of the temple of God. "And he shall reign forever and ever, and his kingdom shall not be given to another people, but shall last forever." 24 elders sat before God on their seats, fell and worshipped, saying, "We give thanks to thee, Lord God, which wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." Now that comes when he is crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which we'll see in Revelation 19. And the nations were angry just before he comes. "And thy wrath is come," these are the seven last plagues, "and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give the reward to thy servants the prophets, dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain are caught up, join the saints, and them that fear thy name," they have the Father's name in their foreheads, "small and great, and shouldst destroy them that destroy the earth." The only time in the history of mankind when humanity possesses the power to destroy the earth is now. His bombs of destruction can reduce life to extinction. We live in this time. The nations are angry. The plagues are about to fall. The servants of God are about to be sealed. Men are about to destroy the earth. But before that takes place, Christ is going to come. And then John sees the temple open in heaven. He opened chapter 11, measuring the temple. Now the temple is open, and in his temple is seen the ark, containing the law, the throne of God, surmounted by the cherubim, the symbols of redeemed humanity. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail, and Christ returns. Now as we look over the highlights of these 11 chapters of Revelation, we see Christ's concern for his people. As members of the church, he yearns over them. As the church militant riding upon horses, he is distressed by their apostasy. But as the judge, he looks for every sign by which he can redeem them. And in these last days, send out the sanctuary message by which God's people are to be prepared to see him come in glory. Let us carefully study it.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.